Welcome to the fourth week in Advent, the fourth Sunday of Advent. My sermon is entitled, My Soul Glorifies the Lord. And I have a subtitle, Welcome to God's Revolution. So we continue with some thoughts from last week. I talked about the salvation, the water of salvation in Isaiah 12:3. With joy, you will draw the water from the wells of salvation. And towards the end of last week's sermon, I was giving you a clue about revolution. Salvation, revolution. Salvation, revolution. I quoted Professor Beth Skibienski on God's true well of salvation. And her words, the moving water in the Christmas story is in the waters of childbirth. Water flowed from Mary, and from this fountain came Jesus. Our incarnation and salvation came from the waters of childbirth. And so on this fourth Sunday of Advent, I know you've been looking forward to Christmas. And maybe someone stood in this pulpit and said, we are getting ready for Christmas, each one of the Sundays prior to this. But I realized as I was working on this sermon this week that I made a mistake. Maybe we aren't so much getting ready for Christmas as we are getting ready for the season of God's revolution. Now let me define. Revolution means a complete change. A change so complete that we often use the phrase before the revolution, after the revolution. If you go back to the 60s, that was before the computer revolution. If you look at today, it's after the computer revolution. A change so complete. And perhaps, we should talk about Advent and Christmas as before the revolution, and Christmas as after the revolution. Because perhaps God's revolution happened in God's incarnation. And the curious thing is, God brought salvation to this world in the form of two geeks and a freak. Now, we have a Bible Geek 1, that's Mary. When Mary met her cousin Elizabeth, the words you heard, which started in Luke verse 46 in chapter 1, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. You see, what Mary was doing was almost quoting the words of Hannah, who was the mother of the prophet Samuel. And if we go back in the Old Testament to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, Hannah starts off her prayer with, my heart rejoices in the Lord. I delight in your deliverance. Mary was such a Bible geek that she was quoting from the words of Hannah. And Bible geek too is Jesus. When Jesus was 12 years old, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And they went in a caravan, a group of people, and then they left after the feast. And it was a couple days later that Mary said to Joseph, where's Jesus? And Joseph said to Mary, wait, where's Jesus? And they had to go back to the temple. And they went around the city and they found Jesus preaching in the temple. 12 years old. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, it says this. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus, 12 years old, he was a Bible geek. And the freak part of this is John the Baptist, the baby that was in the womb of Mary's cousin Elizabeth when Mary visited her. John the Baptist, who foreshadowed and preached towards the coming of Jesus in the desert. Here's what they say about John in Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and honey. Sounds like a freak. So our salvation, the revolution of this incarnation, has come about through two geeks and a freak. And my soul glorifies the Lord. Welcome to God's revolution. And so, dear God, please come into me this morning that I may bring the glory of this story to this, your beloved worshiping community. Amen. And Mary's and God's revolution story, this only appears in the Gospel of Luke. If you look at the other three Gospels, you're not going to find one word about this. Now, Mary is described as a teenage girl, a servant girl, a handmaiden, a virgin. But Mary has an astonishingly complex and loving soul. Because it was that astonishingly complex and loving soul that attracted God to choose Mary to be the mother of his son. We've been talking about this concept of both and how to truly understand God. We have to understand God is so broad. God is both lion and lamb, for instance. But look at the both and in Mary. Mary's words to the angel Gabriel are both bold. How will this be? I am a virgin. And they are also submissive. I am the Lord's servant, and may your word to me be fulfilled. Mary is both a teenage girl ready to do God's will, and she is also an independent thinking woman who is ready to change the world in God's image. Mary both brings the human body of Jesus into our world as the mother of God. And Mary brings the reign of God's love into our world as the voice of God's revolution. Now, please consider these words of revolution in Mary's song, the Magnificat. And remember, this is a teenage girl that is saying these words. In verse 51, she says, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are most proud in their thoughts." In verse 52, Mary says, "He has brought down rulers from thrones, but lifted up the humble." In verse 53, she says, "He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." Mary is the voice of God's revolution, but it's a revolution of love that lifts up the poor, honors the needy, embraces all of those who are God's children. Reverend Edward Marquardt puts this in a really interesting context. I'm going to quote you his words about the Magnificat, the prayer of Mary. He calls Mary's Magnificat, "This is God's constitution." That is, the document that lays down the fundamental principles of the Christian revolution. In Mary's Magnificat, God totally changes the order of things. Now, those are Reverend Marquardt's words, but we know that Mary knows that God turns the way we think and the way we act and the way we live upside down. Mary knew that in her heart and soul, otherwise she wouldn't have said what she said. And you know, Mary's baby boy, this beautiful baby Jesus, born in a manger, listen to the words that he says in Luke chapter 12, verse 49. And just kind of consider where he might have got these thoughts from. Jesus says, I have come to start a fire on this earth, and how I wish it were already blazing. You see, Mary's Magnificat sets the tone for her son's words and actions. Listen to how the words of Mother Mary come through Jesus' first sermon. Now, his first official sermon was in his hometown synagogue. The people there hadn't seen him for a while. He came in. They knew that he was making a name for himself as a preacher. They invited him up to preach. So he went up to the front. He took the scroll. He opened it to the words of Isaiah 61:1. And here's what Jesus preached on. I have come to bring good news to the poor people, release for prisoners, and freedom for those imprisoned. Do you hear Mary's voice in the words that Jesus chose to preach on? And then in the first major public sermon of Jesus, when he went up to the mount and did the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus came up with the Beatitudes. Jesus continued to turn the world upside down, as Mary knew he would. In his Beatitudes in Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 26, Jesus uses these words, blessed are the poor. Blessed are you who hunger. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you. Jesus' words would have made his mother proud. We have been saved by two Bible geeks and a freak. And I must tell you that as United Methodist, we have a connection to all of this. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was homeschooled by his mother, Susanna. And later in life, when John had acquired much acclaim for his theological teachings and writings, he said that he learned more theology from his mother than he ever did in a seminary. So, my soul glorifies the Lord. Welcome to God's revolution. And Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, how are we following in this revolution of the incarnation that is being brought in our world? Are we living up to the works of our two geeks and a freak? Are we bringing God's love into our community? I have to tell you that again and again we are. And I tell you this just to take a moment to savor it. As Barbara mentioned, Aubrey and Sue, we were so many people looking forward to Christmas caroling. We had about half a dozen families that can't get to church, and we were going to carol on Friday night, and we had to cancel at the last minute because of the COVID in the schools. And yet, Aubrey and Sue did the revolutionary thing of saying, we're going to take the poinsettias to them. And they did. This past week, the Honor Club at the high school, NJR, got together and had a massive giveaway of Christmas clothing and gifts at the high school. That is bringing this revolution of God's love to the needy into this world. And the leftovers are now at the community center. So many ways you are living into this. And it is a joy and a blessing and a gift. And if you ever think, well, I'm not worthy, I can't do it, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not kind enough, please consider that God brought his revolution and his salvation and his incarnation into this world through a Bible geek teenage girl. A Bible geek, okay, he was the son of God, I'll give him that. And a person who ate locust in the desert. And if God can bring those people to cause love to come into this world, you can do it. And so the greatest gift you can give God is to give God's people the gifts that you have been giving them all along. We have been struck down by the pandemic this year. Last year, 1 year ago, this church was empty. I was preaching into a camera. And look at the vibrant life and love that is in our church today. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of God's revolution of love. This is what happens when a teenage girl opens her heart to God and goes boldly and humbly where God is leading her to go. And so we pray that we have a merry Christmas in God's love, and we pray that we have a revolutionary Christmas in God's love. And the one thing that I forgot to tell you is, a week ago, yesterday, Jim Riley was running after being totally sick for 3 days. And in his Miles for Smiles run, he raised up $1,200 for needy families in Talbot County. There are so many ways to bring God's revolution of love into this world. Look around you. Be inspired by the people next to you. And continue to open your hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.